we're gathered today to talk about the topic of preparing for our future role, and settling our karmic relationship with ourselves and others, and also the environment. Before we begin, I'd like to just take the time to acknowledge what the world is going through at the moment, and what humanity is facing at the moment. It's going through labor. Humanity is on a hospital bed and is giving birth to something new. And in that process, there's a lot of difficulty and also a lot of hardship that's experienced. And just acknowledge that and honor that. And I'd also like to honor Gentiman for being here with us this evening, and for allowing us to extract and benefit from her wisdom. You know, Baba was talking about today that there are some souls that have inspired us to come close. And I really feel for myself, and also I'm sure a lot of people can attest to this, that you're one of those souls. And Baba talks a lot about the living image. And I really feel like I'm sitting next to Amriti right now. You know? And I'm grateful, so thank you. So a wonderful team came together to create some of these questions. And so there are different souls here who have come up with these, and some of them are also my own. And I'd like to start with just the question of talking about future roles. You know, what Baba is asking of us is really big. Really big. And I think a lot of the time there's this feeling inside me, and especially in particular in the past, of wanting to abscond and run away from the magnitude of the task that's being asked. And I know you, from a very young age, have been asked to step into roles, you know, that have been perhaps at the time beyond what you perceive to be possible. And so, instead of running away, what is it that made you open up and expand?
Om Shanti. When Daddy first asked me to come back to London, my answer was no. This was 1969 in the month of May, because she had come to Madhuban for the first Kumari's training that Sakar Baba had talked about, and then the training center had been complete. It was on the way to be completed when Baba left, and then it was completed a few months later, so the first training happened. And when I said no, it wasn't superficial, it was absolutely from here, because I knew that it would be a big challenge. It would be a challenge to face my parents, my friends, and all the things that I had been involved with, and I didn't know whether I had the courage or the power to face all of that. And then when Baba said a couple of months later that you have to go, but Baba also added something which touched me very deeply. Baba said, Baba's not sending you back for your karmic accounts. Baba used that expression. But Baba's sending you back for service. And so I said, yes, come back to London. And again, it seems impossible to break through the walls to do any service. And then it's like different messages from Baba at different times through different individuals. So it's not just that God writes you a letter. In Sakar days, God did write letters, but after becoming a Vyakt, it was through others. So then Daddy Prakash Mani's letter that what about self-service? And that was a lifesaver for me. And so that program of tapasya and introspection began, which was absolutely fantastic, from September 69 through to May 71. And then another letter. In those days it was letters rather than, telephones were difficult from Abu, especially Bombay, not so bad, but Abu was very difficult. And that was a letter from Daddy asking us if we wanted the delegation to come to London. And of course after that, service just exploded. And so all the way along the line, Baba's expectations and Daddy's expectations have been higher than anything I've thought for myself. And now when Daddy passed away, a few people phoned me, wrote to me saying that now you have a new role. And I didn't see myself in a new role. I thought I have to do what I have to do, and London carries on in the way that it's always carried on. And so I really didn't see any difference. And even today, I don't see any difference in what I'm doing now to what I was doing earlier. Because even with Daddy, the communication had become more and more subtle through the last several years. So I see that Baba keeps pushing me, but also Baba prepares me. And so if Daddy had left and just cut from London in 2005, it would have been challenging. But she continued to guide us in a very practical way and coming 2-3 times a year. So now that she's truly avyakt and not able to come in the same way, I still feel that she's left such a legacy that we can draw upon. What did Daddy say? What did Daddy do? And there's so many jewels and treasures that she shared with us that I personally am taking from that still. And so at this moment, I just do what comes in front of me. I don't think about a bigger role or anything like that. So I just keep myself available for Baba.
Beautiful. Talking about this kind of aspect of just dealing with whatever is in front of us, we're kind of beginning to see more and more challenging scenes, more and more demanding scenes, experiencing them. How can we remain unconditionally present throughout them without having them leave an energetic footprint in us? Because we have a choice, you know, of either turning towards or turning away. And so how can we remain present throughout all of this in a really kind of dignified, powerful way without it leaving an imprint?
Not so easy, especially if it's things very close to you that you're deeply connected with. And in that I see how if I keep Baba with me, then Baba's canopy is around me and that protects me. And if I forget to do that, then I can feel myself being impacted, as you say, energetically inside. Early on, when I was having to deal first with one very angry individual, and then a couple of years later, another very angry individual, Baba had told me personally something that I've often shared. Keep Baba as the canopy of protection above you. And in the first case, I could feel that literally it was that person was still continuing with their angry mode. But now I wasn't getting upset. I wasn't getting angry with that person earlier either, but I was getting upset. And now with that canopy, I was able to be detached and not be upset. And so I draw back on that memory and again reproduce that when I'm in difficult situations. And that helps me enormously. In the second case, it was different because, In the second case, the person, I think, was just simply trying to draw my attention. And when I understood that, and I used that canopy again, In the first case, it was deep karma. In the second case, it wasn't the same. It was trying to pull my attention. And so again, that helped me, and that finished fairly fast. And so now I know that if I allow myself to be impacted, that karmic connection with whether it's an individual or a situation is going to carry on. But if I can protect myself and not internally react, then it's going to stop. It's the inner reaction that continues the karmic account.
Okay, that's very powerful. Okay, talking about drawing on kind of powerful divine memories that have shaped us, what memories do you have where you've kind of witnessed right relationship?
Daddy has been, from a tiny age, my mentor, my guide, and my support in so many different ways. And so I see how Daddy was able to give a huge amount to everyone. And I would see how, although she would sometimes have a long line of people, she would be very quiet inside, and she would tell us not to get impatient, she'll get to it, she'll deal with it. And she was able then to satisfy and give contentment to whoever and whatever. And so on Sunday mornings especially, I remember that, because Sunday mornings seem to be a repeat, even though Daddy's not here, but whoever is here steps into a specific role and they have to be available. So at one point I was thinking, how is it possible to manage everything by the certain time that a big meeting was going to begin? And I just had to stay very cool, very calm, and it worked. And I think everybody was satisfied. So I think that I've seen Daddy manage relationships very beautifully. And so that's been a great example. And the other one was Daddy Prakash Mani. And how, because Daddy Prakash Mani made herself available always to everyone. Again, just a few minutes of her time and people would feel content and satisfied. Because in those few minutes she was able to give them so much and give them that experience of being the only people in the world. When they were with her, they were the only people in the world. And so I see that it's possible. And so those two souls are very much an example in front of me. And I know that some of you have had those experiences of being with Dadiji, and definitely I think 99% of the room have had that time to be with Dadi Janki. And so I think that those memories are very powerful and helpful for us.
Just kind of pivoting back to karma, out of the three, meaning karmic relationship with ourselves, with others and nature, which one is the most important for you?
I haven't actually thought about the relationship I have with myself as being a karmic one. I didn't quite get that question.
Sure, yeah.
And so, yes, I see. Of course, I have a relationship with me and all the different things that go on inside of me. But that's me, so I don't see it as separate in terms of karma in that way, because that is me. My karma is who I am. So I think there has to be a point of acceptance, who I am and how Baba's helping me and what more I can do. And then with others, very definitely, it's been a situation of trying to make sure that it's good karma, positive karma, rather than anything negative going on in here. Mm. And where there is a challenge, then I see that if I can change my attitude and perception, it helps tremendously. And I've learned more and more about how it's possible to see the same thing from a different perspective. There's an expression that they use nowadays, and that is, reframing something. And that's what Baba's teaching us. How can I change my perspective? And in today's language, how can I reframe the way I'm thinking? And if I can do that and bring in compassion rather than distaste or dislike, then that makes a huge difference. And when there's compassion, it's not pity, it's not sort of looking down on them in any way, but more an empathy. I understand where they're coming from and why something is so challenging for them. And if I can put that perspective in front of me, then my whole feeling towards them changes, and I can see very quick results of that. In Sangam Yuga, it's very interesting, you know, through the Golden Age and Silver Age, there's no karmic account in that sense. I'm just drawing from my own bank account, whatever I had saved and accumulated, I'm drawing on that capital. And it is capital, it's not just interest, but it's capital that I'm drawing on. And then from the Copper Age, it might be varied, but like, you know, you plant a mango tree and you don't expect fruits for 4 years. You just have to be patient. But you plant something else and something very quickly comes out. So some karma might be long-term results, other karma might be short-term results. But in Sangam Yuga, I think the whole picture of karma changes. And I think good karma and those very quick results of the feeling of Baba's blessings and joy, and not so good karma, even just in terms of our thinking, and mostly at the present time, I think it's more thinking and feeling rather than any words or actions. But you change your thinking and the return of that comes very fast. You can see things shifting very quickly. So I find that very beautiful.
Thank you. Speaking of Satyug, so we know that this new earth, this new age that we are collectively creating is directly correlated to the quality of our consciousness. What are one or two specific practices that have helped you raise the quality of your consciousness?
Definitely the basic thing that Baba teaches us, just the practice of soul consciousness and maintaining that awareness for myself and seeing others as souls. That's a very basic thing, and you have to keep coming back to that again and again and again, because it is still slippery. Not surprisingly, because for 2,500 years, it was just this consciousness, and so now to shift it takes a little while. So that practice is something that I remind myself of time and again. And the second thing that I've been practicing just recently, literally just feeling that I'm seeing with my third eye, instead of looking at things with these two eyes, am I able to see things with the third eye? And so, I don't know at what point of time Baba was emphasizing the third eye. I think it was through the last 10, 15 days when it was change your eyes from criminalized to civilized. And so, civilized, it means really starting to look from here rather than here. And so, I've paid more attention to just being able to see what's below the surface. And so that makes a difference.
There are so many questions to choose from. Which is great. Okay. So this is a great question. Is there a difference in the type of karmic accounts we have created with human souls or with nature? In the sense that with human souls have an agency, they have autonomy, but nature is this passive thing who we've done really quite not so very good things to. And does the healing between the two look different? And If so, how does it look different?
Goodness. with human beings, it's in a very visible way. Once you start understanding jnana and body consciousness means lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, and all of this, then you can see that whether it's from the past, there's been a huge amount of interaction that's been based just simply on body consciousness ignorance. And so there was an exchange of pain going on a lot of the time, if not all the time, because it was ignorance. We didn't know better. And so that pain today, whatever it is I'm experiencing, is a direct result of whatever it is that's been negative karma in that way. And so today I have to do yoga to be able to settle that. I have to practice soul consciousness to make sure I don't fall into that trap again. And thirdly, I have to focus on whatever it is I can do, thoughts, words, actions, using my time in a positive way to create a stock of good karma and allow the positive qualities to emerge within myself again. So I see that that karmic account is easy to identify and easy to deal with. I'm very aware of the connection of soul and body and the karma with this body. And so I'm aware that however it is I've used this body of mine, whether it's now or in the past, in ways that were not accurate, and so body conscious and gross influences, I see that the body pays back that return in pain again now, things going wrong. And so maybe it was my relationship with food and my digestive capacity. Maybe it was the places I went to and my knees and legs. Because I see how even paying attention to diet and exercise and all of those things, and yet bodies are fragile and bodies give way at different moments in different places. I've used my throat to say things that are not right, and so today the throat is sensitive. So maybe it's a very simplistic way, but that's how I explain it to myself, that if today there's some part of the body that's troubling me, then it's the return of the way I abused this or used this for wrong karma. And so that's the return. So in terms of nature, and this is the closest connection I have with nature, and so the way to settle this is really A, detachment, but B, then sending good vibrations to whichever part of the body is creating a problem. A very simple example, but and I don't know what created it, but I had two lumps on my fingers. One was here and one was here. And I know how they came. They came through my allergy to coffee. Because I'd noticed that. And then I stopped the coffee after thinking about it a long time, but I finally took the plunge and just cut. And I would just gently massage these two fingers. And I wasn't expecting anything dramatic to happen, but they actually disappeared. They literally disappeared. And so I know that a moment of love, a moment of care, can even make a difference to the physical body. And we used to see Daddy do this. Daddy would say, when I take my medicine, I give it Drishti. And I take it with that love that it's going to bring healing. And when the body's not well, again, I give it love. And so that's going to create healing also. I think that's how she managed to get to 103, even with a body that was extremely fragile, more fragile than anybody else in the yagya that I knew of. So it was quite remarkable that with the power of love, she was able to keep using that as her instrument to serve. And she never got upset with it. You know, I didn't want this. Why is this causing so much trouble? You never saw her get agitated in that way.
Mm-hmm.
External nature. It's a basic practice that I have of just sending good vibrations to the planet.
Mm.
And I don't know where I'll be when the final moments come, and whether it's going to be earthquakes or floods or hurricanes. When I was traveling a lot in the East, every August they have hurricane season in Hong Kong and that part of the world. And many times I'd be there during that time. And it was only once that I actually got caught up in a hurricane. No, twice. One was with Daddy in Bangladesh. And that was incredible, Daddy's power. We were in a very, very isolated place in the interior. And to get to the nearest airport was a couple of hours' drive. And we had to get back to Dhaka, where the main international airport is. And so it was 2 hours to this place, then an hour's journey, and then you get to Dhaka. And the hurricane came, and they said, can't even travel by car. And Daddy had this very clear thought, we have to go. And so we waited a few hours, and then she said, okay, find out about the next nearest airport. And so we did. And that airport was open. It was a bit bigger than the other one. And we found a taxi driver who was willing to take the risk. He said there might be many trees on the road. And Daddy just gave him silent drishti, and he was speaking in Bengali, so we were needing a translator. So I couldn't speak Bengali either, but we managed to get through, and he took us to that next airport. And literally he had to get out of the car, and one of the brothers who was with us would help him move the trees out of the path. And he then raced ahead, and we got to the airport on time. And in fact there was more delay, but Daddy was sure the flight was going to go. And it did. We reached Dhaka in time, we got the flight back to Delhi in time. And the reward was Daddy Gulzar was waiting for us. This was before ORC. And it was the farmhouse, Manesar, that little farmhouse. And it was just before Diwali. And we got home about 11 o'clock and at night. And the whole pathway was lit with little diyas, the little deepaks. Nilu Ben had organized that, so it was such a beautiful welcome. So Daddy's determination, it was like she was picking up Daddy Gulzar's thoughts that Daddy's coming, and I'm going. So that was a very interesting scene. The other one, I wasn't as lucky to have Daddy, I was in Fiji. But I managed to get to Singapore via, after 2 days' delay. It was quite an adventure. And I arrive at the airport, and they've arranged that I don't stop to pick up my luggage. I come straight out, and fortunately the hotel was the airport hotel. So I have time, coffee in those days, quick cup of coffee and quick change, and I'm on the stage. And I get there in time for the program. And it was several thousand people that they'd gathered there. No Zoom in those days, but so it wouldn't have been possible to do a recording and send it, or all the alternatives that we have today. But I managed to get there. That was a hurricane. So I found that I haven't had any interruption in anything through natural disasters so far. But let's see what the future holds, and I have to be prepared.
You spoke earlier about negative karma and pain. And the question here is, does settling karma always have to involve some type of pain, whether it's mental or emotional or physical?
The very, very powerful souls, maybe the eight jewels, I think they've settled a lot of their karma, not all their karma, without pain. But even so, I see how the 10-15% has been with pain, even with those souls, like Mama, like Baba, like Daddy Janki, and some of the others also. And for us, maybe the percentage is different. And then I see that this is where number wise comes in. I think yoga power can help you settle all your karma, and just a little remains for the pain to settle, whether it was Baba with the heart trouble and the cough, and Mama with her physical pain. So I think the percentages are different, but I think the very fact that it's like punishment, and that implies that there's some pain there. But Baba offers us the sweet alternative of yoga power, and if we choose to use that, fantastic, but otherwise the rest is emotional or physical pain.
So I feel that Baba is continuously asking me to expand the size of my heart more and more and more, and to really love what I see, both inside and outside. So how can we steadily continue this heart's expansion without getting hurt in the process? You know, because if we do it a little bit too quickly and letting a little bit too much in, then sometimes it can hurt.
I found that through these last few years, the challenges that I've been faced with, every morning, especially when there's a specific thing that's going on, and I'm thinking, it shouldn't be like this, it should be like this. Baba's blessing, or the Murali itself, will give me an indication of how I need to adjust and change, and come back to a point that's centered, so that then I can deal with it and move forward. And so Baba helps a great deal. Baba knows what it is we're having to face. You know, it's like a teacher only sets an examination paper according to a certain level. The teacher doesn't want you to fail. The teacher wants you to pass. And so he's prepared you, and he's brought you a certain point, and that test comes. But generally, he's helped you. And so most times you're able to deal with it and move forward. And if sometimes you're not able to deal with it, then that in itself is a learning. But I see how Baba helps hugely. And just giving that attention and knowing that the way Baba's going to reach me most easily is through the Murali. To think that I'm going to sit alone and meditate and Baba will give me a touching. I never heard Daddy ever say that Baba gave me this touching. She would say, I had the thought. She wouldn't put it on Baba's shoulders in that way and claim that there was supremacy in her thought. She would take responsibility. This is my thought. And of course, then we could feel the value of it and everybody would come together. And so Baba's helping through the Murali every single day. And yes, maybe if it's something that's come to my mind, but then I see it reiterated in the Murali, then that's very helpful. And so I know I'm on track. So I think that at all times it's Baba's help.
So this question is twofold. It's, how do we know that we've cleared our karmic accounts with others? And also, how do we know that we've cleared our karmic accounts with the ecological system, with nature?
Sorry, with nature.
With nature, yeah.
Mm-hmm. with individuals, things shift and things become very natural and easy. Instead of every time you're in contact with them feeling that there's a hesitation or there's a block or a challenge, things shift and it becomes very simple and easy and natural. And that's happened with several people that I'm in touch with closely, where things become very easy. And so you feel that there's no karmic account here anymore, and it's just sweet. And then with nature, where I learn about this body and I know how to deal with it and I'm able to give the body what it needs, And that, I think, is a powerful way to be able to feel that things are moving forward. But I always have this awareness that because I've seen every single dadi go through so much karmic settlement, and the dadas also, not just the dadis, but the dadas, everyone's gone through karmic settlement. So I keep thinking that, well, it's okay now, but maybe something's going to pop up later. And Mama used to say, well, better that I settle karma now with my body through physical illness rather than face Dharamraj at the end. So, yes, maybe there'll be other things coming up with this, but let's see. And in terms of nature out there, I'm just very grateful at how much, you know, this expression, Prakriti Dasi, literally it means nature, your server. But you can also see it as a state in which nature is supporting and helping. And it's not just green nature in that sense, but Prakriti takes in everything. So nowadays, for example, when I'm coming down the stairs or I look out of the window and I see it's pelting down, I'm so grateful that Baba's given us such a comfortable place in which to study, to do yoga, to serve, and to provide a facility for others to take benefit from. So at the moment, it's thank you for everything that nature is doing and matter is doing. And for the future, who knows? I really don't know how things will work. The heating will come, will go, the lights will be there. Yes, we can keep the generator in good function, but how long will the fuel last for a generator? Will you be? I've really no idea. And so I know that there will be tests that will come, that will be coming, but I just have to make sure that as I enjoy and benefit from what there is available today and appreciate it without getting to the point where I'm blasé about it and thinking, oh, well, it's my right. I never feel it's my right. I feel it's a gift. And so recognizing how precious it is and appreciating it, then further drama, let's see.
Yeah, because I think it's a big tendency for us, especially those who are kind of city dwellers, to look at nature as some kind of a discrete set of data outside of myself, you know, an object kind of outside of myself, and that I'm not responsible for. Whereas nature provides food, hydration, shelter, clothing, you know, and to reestablish a really kind of harmonious symbiotic relationship with the ecosystem and my own, as you're saying.
And I'm very, very aware that I can't separate myself from the rest of the human family and say, well, because I've always been a vegetarian, I've never done anything to nature or to animal life. Who knows when, how, what? I don't know. But it's my responsibility. The other thing about what you're saying is where, you know, I love animals, and so I've never hurt any animals, but they don't even connect that with eating animals. I love animals, but I'm ready to eat them. But also where there isn't that awareness that all of us together as a human family, even if it hasn't been actual aggression against nature, the fact that I've been taken from nature all the time, without any thought that I have to give something back in return, that too is an imbalance in terms of karma. In Bharat, I mean, who knows what we were doing in our past births, but if I look at the traditional system in which there's so much appreciation of nature on all levels, you know, Daddy used to talk about feeding the fishes and, and how she would tell her mother, you know, make little balls with Rama put inside the dough. And so things like this. Now, this is just 20th century. So it's not like way back in the past, but the systems in Bharat of feeding the birds and the bees and the animals and everything else. And like Baba's saying that let the monkeys eat the mangoes on the tree. They're not going to go to the market and buy mangoes, so let them eat these. So it's very interesting how where there has been traditionally this awareness of nature giving, and so I have to give some return to nature, and where, of course, in Bharat also all those systems are gone. And so now you see the onslaught of nature there, especially in a big way.
And today Baba was talking about no waste at some point. And I recently listened to David Attenborough also talking about zero waste from now on. So how can we live a life of zero waste? Exactly. And what does that look like, you know?
I have to keep referring back to Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Daddy so economical, absolutely, in everything. But the starting point, and of course Daddy's always talked about it, I make sure that I don't waste my thoughts. You know, right from her 80s, and she was as active as somebody in their 60s, 90s, and she was still active. And it's only, we were counting the years, and it was only after about 94, 95, that after a couple of major falls, then things changed slowly, but they did change. And so how did she have that energy until age 94, 95? It was, she would tell people, I haven't wasted my thoughts, I haven't wasted my time, I haven't wasted any money. And so she wasn't just looking at the spiritual, she was very definitely looking at the physical also. And so, you know, she used to not want to use tissues long, long before there was this general awareness of not using paper. She used to say she had handkerchiefs and, no, I'm going to wash this every day and I'm going to use it the next day. And I remember she told me, and in India I would see it, here not so much. But she wouldn't use ironing. She wouldn't. In India, she would make sure that after the saris, the cotton saris, and it was always cotton she wore, she never wore nylon. So when the sari was almost dry, she would smooth it with her hands and fold it absolutely cleanly and keep it under her pillow. And so she didn't need to use the energy of the iron. She didn't allow the center in Pune to get a fridge because she said it was a waste of money, waste of energy. And if you have a fridge, then you'll have little bowls in which you'll keep leftovers and you'll store them and they'll go to waste. And so, no, when we'd have dinner at night together in Pune, there were about six of us, six Kumaris with Daddy at that point. And she would make sure that everything got finished. There's a little bit left. No, you're not going to throw it. You're not going to keep it. Everybody take a little bit. So community eating is very different to people coming in, taking a bit whenever they want and rushing off. And so Daddy was an amazing example of no waste. But it starts with no waste thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so get on with what you need to do, have pure, powerful, positive thoughts, and then it'll spill over into all the other things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, where we are today and going back to no waste is going to take collective effort. It's really going to take collective effort on our part. But it has to be something that we think about and work towards.
Mm-hmm. We only have about 10 minutes, maybe less than 10 minutes until 8 o'clock, so I'd just like to ask if anyone has maybe any questions for Jyoti then. No questions? Great. So I think what we'll do is, if you could guide us into meditation maybe for 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Before that, I'd also like to share a poem by Hafiz, if that's okay. Yeah.
I'd like to mention one thing.
Yeah.
You talked about no waste, and yes, absolutely, it's crucial. But connected very much with that is something that we were asked to do for Global House a little while ago, mm-hmm. and that was called the green footprint. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had a look at that, and we tried to see how far Global House fared in that, mm-hmm. and it was about 50%. So, in a way, that's brilliant. And in another way, we've still got a long way to go.
Mm.
And whether it's the use of chemicals in terms of the cleaning materials and all of that that we use here, whether it was the use of plastics and all of that and recycling, many different things. So we've got a long way to go, but I think that maybe over the next little while, we can look at that in more detail and
yes.
see how we can take it a step further rather than just stay stuck at 50%.
Mm.
Be a little bit more ambitious and go further in that.
Mm.
And so I hope that we can look at that.
You might want to acknowledge that
those are 250
people have been listening.
Okay, so also welcome and hello to all of the wonderful people who have been watching through the webinar, all 250 of you. Hi. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. I'd like to share a very short poem by Hafez, and then if you could just kindly guide us into a meditation, gentlemen, that would be delightful. I have learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew. The truth has shared so much of itself with me that I can no longer call myself a man, a woman, an angel, or even a pure soul. Love has befriended Hafez so completely, it has turned to ash and freed me of every concept and image my mind has ever known.
Coming to that point of stillness, of I, the soul, beyond all images, beyond all concepts of human minds, just I, the being of light, connected with Baba, the Supreme. And from the ocean of love, from that point source of love, the power of love draws us into the ocean. And as the consciousness of I is merged in that ocean of love, Baba's light and love reaches out and the love touches the hearts of human souls. And they are uplifted and filled with hope and the power of love gives each soul comfort. Heals their pain. And the power of God's love reaches out to touch all forms of life. And offer safety and protection. And God's love embraces the whole of nature, all the elements, everything on this planet. And God's love able to transform and God's love brings harmony and purity back into nature. Staying in this experience of God's love I am transformed and the highest within soul emerges. This love within myself and come back to the awareness of the physical dimension. But now Baba's love with me. Om Shanti.
Thank you for your time, your big heart, and your wisdom. It was lovely.
Thank you, Maria.
You.
And and
yeah, thank you, Maria.
Those who supported you.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Good night, everyone.